Episode 121 of Outlander Cast is brought to you by Minute with Mary. Listen, it's fall, so if you're ready to spruce up your makeup or skincare routine, I would love to connect with you. Yes, this friendly little voice that you hear in your podcast app, I'm a real life person. You can find me on Facebook just by searching the hashtag Minute with Mary. I would love for you to request to join access to my free Facebook group. It's my marvelous VIPs. Just search that hashtag, guys, Minute with Mary.
Do you know what lies beyond those trees? This is just the start of what America will become. People will come here in their thousands, all hoping to live the American dream.
Is that the same as our dream?
I suppose it is.
Cold water roll away.
Welcome to River Run.
Thank you, Auntie.
North Carolina offers wealth and prosperity.
I don't agree with keeping people as property.
You're a lively winner, you know.
We must leave. Live on our own terms.
It's perfect.
If I can make this a good land, my presence here now can be felt by Brianna later. Then that would be something.
I'm Stephen Bonnet,
sir. Be wary. Travelers in these woods are set upon by thieves and outlaws.
There are savages here. Oh my God.
Shouldn't she know the truth?
Hello?
Brianna.
I have some news about your mother.
Everything's in my power.
Oh my God.
Jamie!
It's a silver filling, something that won't be invented for 100 years. This will lead us to fighting in another war. We will be on the wrong side of history again.
Can't change the world without you, Sassanac. A dream for some can be a nightmare for others.
Sometimes life takes unexpected turns.
From Cranston, Rhode Island, welcome to Outlander Cast. It's a podcast dedicated to the show Outlander on Starz. Are you getting excited? Because I sure am getting excited. I'm your host, Mary Larson.
My name's Blake, and I think I'm counting the minutes.
Would not be alone in that.
Counting the minutes. Maybe the seconds. That's a much harder task.
Let's be real. The holiday season is my favorite season of the year, in case you guys are new here. Hi, I'm a Christmas elf. And now that Outlander is going to be overlapping within that season, because I truly believe the holiday season begins with the first holiday of Halloween.
Oh, that see, that's when you make the switch.
Oh, heck yeah. Heck yeah. Bring out the decor, the merriment, the holiday-themed coffee drinks.
Oh, the pumpkin. I'm down. All the pumpkin.
All the pumpkin, all the apple, all the everything. Give it to me. Let's go travel through some stones and let's talk about this trailer, okay?
Right.
You know, it's giving me all the goosies. I have watched it a million, billion, trillion times, just like every Outlander fan. I feel like it kept getting better and better, and then I would be pausing, and then I would start it for another second, then I'd pause it, and then I'd be like, all right, I'm down. Then I would have to watch it again, full, without pausing. I mean, it's just so exciting, and everything's ramping on up.
Mm-hmm.
We're ripping to go.
So it's like it's heroin then. You're ramping it up, you're backing
really
it back
know.
Down.
I don't do drugs.
No, you don't do drugs. Neither do I. I don't do heroin either. So that's a good thing.
That is a good thing.
Yeah, no, I agree with you that this trailer's got everybody in a tizzy.
Yes, tizzy.
And rightfully so. I think this is a very good trailer. And it made me excited. I will admit, I've had some not good thoughts during Droughtlander, meaning like, oh my God, this is taking forever. I just want to come back to it. I feel like I didn't lose my Outlander interest.
Okay.
But it was more like, man, there's so much good television on that like Outlander was kind of put on the back burner for me a little bit. But then when I saw this trailer, I was like, yeah, dude. Okay, I'm all in. Let's get to town on this bad boy. I'm ready for November 4th.
You know, it's funny. During Droughtlander, you find these passionate things that you're excited about, whether it's rewatching the series. For me, it's re-listening to the soundtrack over and over and over and over and over. And just like, that is the constant thing I feel like in our house playing. You know, it's also easier for me since I have young children. I can't always have Outlander playing. No. Or you reread the books. But now we're at the point where you don't have to find things to fill the time. Because now you are like, we're in that downward slope. The momentum is going. The press is, things are happening. The Comic-Con is coming up. I mean, everything's ripping to go.
And this is the first start. I mean, this is the first new con. Well, not the first, but this is the real first honest to God content we've had from Outlander. And this is a perfect jumping off
point. Well, we had the first trailer.
Yeah, but that was, you know, it was 30 seconds long, whatever. It's a teaser.
We had the teaser.
The trailer is something that you can finally
sink your teeth in.
Your fingers on and say, this is Outlander. Yeah. I get it. I got it. All right. So, you know what?
Let's get into it.
Let's do it.
All right. So let's start things off. Kilt ratings.
Yeah. What do you got? Well, let's do yours first,
because
I think I know what's coming.
It's a 5, okay? And I know that I'm getting a huge sigh of like, really, Mary's, from like you curmudgeon-y people who, you know, are curmudgeon-y. But yes, you know, this was what I've been waiting for. This was exciting. This had great music. This had great filming. This had great things for book readers and show watchers alike. Just, it gave me everything that I would have wanted in a trailer, surprised me with some things that I was like, oh, okay, you're just going to let that hang out. All right. Oh, all right.
It's that kind of potty.
Okay. Okay. So giving it a 5.
Yep. I'm giving this one 4.8.
Okay.
I quite liked this trailer.
Yeah.
And for a lot of different reasons. I'm really excited about being in the new world. And I will also admit that the key art for season 4 with Jamie and Claire on the cliff and they're overlooking, it's kind of like this Daniel Boone kind of feel almost. And it says Brave the New World.
Yep.
I really, really, really liked that key art. And I think that kind of colored my opinion of this trailer a tad.
Nice.
Which is
in a good way. Yeah,
in a good way. Because I really like this idea of them braving the new world.
Yeah.
It's a new world, like quite literally, for them because they're in the new world. They're in the United States. Well, they're in the colonies, rather.
All the button porn on that picture, by
the
way.
All the button porn and the yarn porn.
No, not the yarn porn. There's fur porn and button porn.
It's a great photo. Both of them looking out into the horizon. Anyway, they're into the new world, and they do have to brave the new world because it's a complete unknown for everybody.
Correct.
And it's a yes.
Land the plane, Helen.
Yes. Okay. So I like that. But I also like the fact that what that means for Jamie and Claire and how that translates into their relationship, this brave new world of Claire being back and then living their lives on their own in the wilderness. I think that's excellent. And I also quite like the fact that this trailer, you know, it tells its story very well. I mean, trailers are stories, right?
Truly.
They have to sell you on what's to come, and they have to tell a mini story within its own context.
Yep.
And this trailer did that perfectly well. We'll get into why.
Agreed.
So what do you got for your GBG about this trailer?
Okay, my GBGs. Okay. Here we go. Did you like that word? I just like gave myself a little like musical interlude. Okay, so my good.
Yep.
My good is hashtag Homelander. I'm so excited to be home with them and their new home and the building of their new home. And it's like the little house and the prairie aspect scenes and the yarn porn. There was so much yarn porn in this trailer that they make it their homes, or at least try to make it their homes, because Claire stinks at yarn. I just love seeing Claire and Jamie build their new home together. Hashtag Homelander forever. So my bad is WTF, where's Murtaugh?
Oh, yeah, good one.
Murtaugh. I feel like I need a little dog whistle that just makes a Murtaugh sound, like a little, like, grump or something. Where are you? Where'd you go?
Wait, what was the sound that it would make?
Grumph. I feel like that's how he's feeling after being sent to the Americas. Like he just
as an
like,
indentured servant. By
yes,
the way.
Not happy.
But not, like, not a fun life.
I just wanted to go find him with a Snuggie and a big piece of like warm bread. I don't know where he is, but he was not in this trailer, and that made me sad. It made me sad. So that grumph. Was my bad. Oh, grumph. Where are you, Murtaugh? And then my great. This is gonna sound weird, but. Being someone who lives on the East Coast of America, mm-hmm. of the New World, being so close to Boston and being married to a historical nerd, we go to our fair share of really like old school colonial era buildings. I mean, even just Providence, the place that we've lived for so long, has so many buildings that were built in this time frame. And when we got to see a few of these different scenes, it sounds funny, but it made me feel like I'm at home myself. Aww. And I feel like that when I watch pieces that take place in the pre-revolutionary to revolutionary time frame, because mm-hmm. Especially being so close to Boston and being in these areas of really pride when it comes to the revolutionary era, they keep these buildings looking pretty nice, guys. Right. So being able to see some shots like that, I was like, yeah. This is my home.
Yeah,
all right?
This is what it feels
like. Like Scotland's beautiful and all. We got to see some gorgeous shots of Scotland pretending to be North Carolina. But we got to see some gorgeous shots. But when I saw those, probably CGI'd, but beautiful shots of new colonial America, I was like, now they're on my turf.
Yep. And actually, you know, here's a fun bit of trivia for you. Thank you to Donna Antaramian for this little bit of fun of trivia. But the establishing shot that they use for Boston and Brianna is actually a real place in Boston, as a matter of fact. That actually exists in Boston. So that's actually kind of cool. I like that quite a bit.
I agree. So that's my GBG.
My good for the GBG is the song choice.
Ooh.
It's a song by, what's the name of the...
Can I just sound like a Snoopy character or like a
Scooby-Doo
character?
All your sounds today between ooh. Grumph and ooh.
Man.
What are we doing
today?
I'm on
a whole new level. I'm just so excited.
Atlanta's got you a little nuts, right?
Yep.
It's actually a song by Trills and the Very Best. And it's actually a really good song. I really liked it. And I liked it a lot because I like this like this new wave, like this new era new trend of digital synth kind of music in trailers and in films and in TV shows. I'm a big fan of synth music.
I agree.
Whether it was Paul Haslinger for Halt and Catch Fire or even Cliff Martinez on The Nick. Mm-hmm. Really, really cool stuff. But this one actually incorporates some strings. It incorporates mm-hmm. some piano. So it sounds like a great amalgam of all these different things coming together. And I liked how that played in terms of the theme of what mm-hmm. Outlander's trying to do now. I have all these different pieces, all these different places, all these different people, all these different circumstances coming mm-hmm. together to form this one thing. And I really feel like that the song choice really brought that out in this. And it relates to the setting for this new yet old setting. This new setting for Claire, but an old setting in this old colonial towns like you talked about, my darling, and the setting of Outlander in general. So having those two things juxtaposed together mm-hmm. made this really cool feel for me. My bad. The funny thing about this trailer, as much as I liked it, it kind of gave me a season 2 vibe.
Oh dear, no.
Like we set up
don't
this.
Don't say that name.
I know that's one of the commandments.
I know.
We set up this like this mystery of the skull and the silver filling, and can it change the world without you, Sassenach? And this will lead us to fighting another war, and we'll be on the wrong side of history. Again,
dun, dun,
you know,
dun.
I feel like it's going into a place like it had that same feel that the season 2 trailer gave me, like
like something's coming. Well, that's the problem knowing the future.
Everybody's
fighting.
If you remember, if you go back to our season 2 podcast about the trailer, I said, wow, or our season 3 podcast about season 2.
I don't remember that.
I said, well, you know, like it. I felt like it was giving us all of these great things to look at that are really pretty and like, wow. and it like covered up some of the stuff that it was too big for itself. Mm-hmm. Whereas season three trailer was like very character focused.
Yeah.
I feel like this season four one is kind of a bit of both.
Okay.
But I'm still getting a feeling from this trailer that like there's a lot of big things happening here between Jamie and Claire. And it might be too big for the story, like getting into wars again and changing history again.
Dinner fash.
And skulls with silver fillings and more travelers. I agree, but I'm just saying that this was my bad for the trailer. But the great was spectacularly great, which was the ending. The Ooh. Ending of the trailer, having Bree touch the stones in the same exact fashion that Claire yep. touched the stones, by the way. With Frank's voiceover, sometimes life takes unexpected turns. This is excellent
yep.
on many, many, many levels. And notice how the camera is turning as he says life takes unexpected turns. Mm-hmm. It turns from Brianna and it wraps around Brianna behind the stone, covering her up, giving you a visual cue that yep. this is actually happening. But between that and then the sunlight almost blinding you as the viewer, it's some really great stuff. But again, it works on so many different levels, and it works so well because we're left with so many different questions that lead us going into the rest of the season, which is, why is Bree going back, and why is Frank in this trailer? And none of us expected Frank to be in this trailer. None of us, for those of you who are just watching the show alone, right? I mean, I think even for book people, too, probably, they didn't expect Frank to be in the trailer. And why is Bree going back? What is happening? What are we trying to accomplish? What is she trying to accomplish? All of those questions are there. And like I said, no one expects it. And that is why it's almost like a meta commentary on Outlander itself
yes.
and the actual trailer itself.
Okay.
So that's why I loved this end.
So here's what I'm wondering. If we can like actually play the trailer and go moment by moment and break it down.
Yeah, Marvin, I'm all about it. You ready to do it?
You betcha.
Let's do it.
Do you know what lies beyond those trees? This is just the start of what America will become.
So we're stopping there already.
Mary's all excited. all excited.
Do you know
we're
beyond...
2 seconds into the thing. We're stopping.
Do you know what lies beyond those trees? Yes, we do. The continuing. All right, yarn porn first and foremost. I need Claire's new cowl. Okay, there was the brown cowl from season one, but now we're all going to need the North Carolina cowl,
mm-hmm.
right? So we get to see R2 riding a horse. We get to see the country.
This is how we're going to do it. This is how we're going to be.
You're cool with that so far. Nothing deep.
Nothing
just
huge.
Exciting. Okay. Then there's drums. Uh-oh. We know what drums mean, guys. Some wars are brewing.
Drums of autumn. There you go.
Boom. Look at you. Nailing it.
People who come here and that.
Right there was the shot.
No. No. We can't
I'm sorry.
Do this.
Okay. Well, fine. Fine. I will continue so you can hear Claire.
Part of what America will become. People who come here in their thousands, all hoping to live the American dream.
Okay, stop there. Whole lot of people just walking around, just chilling. But then you see this African-American guy. He's holding a little oar. There's a little riverboat. What do you think's going on there, Blake?
I have no idea.
Good.
I bet you he probably works for who's about to come up, who's your girl, Auntie.
This is not my girl.
Is that the same as our dream?
I suppose it is.
Right there.
So I love this line. I love this line because it actually opens up so many great things between yes. Jamie and Claire. It sets you up for what's to come, and it tells you exactly where they are at the beginning of where we are.
Like 16 seconds in, you as have established the time, the place,
right,
and that they're off to get their dream.
And they're in a good place together. They are going to grab the American dream, and she reaffirms it to Jamie saying, this is us.
Oh. With a kiss. All right, big old house.
Welcome to Riverrun.
Oh, first and foremost, you need a minute with Mary.
All the minutes with Mary.
Poor thing.
This is Auntie, and I believe the name is Jocasta.
You know what it is? She actually looks perfectly fine. She looks very
lovely. Wait, the guy in the background, that's the guy that was doing the boat.
There you go.
Okay, so there you go. There's the connection. Now, Jocasta is played by Maria Doyle Kennedy. Now, you may not know this lady. You may not know the name.
She's RBF.
The RBF.
That's what needs a minute. Goodness. She doesn't even need any lip gloss. I just need to tell her, stop harping RBF. Well, and if you don't know what RBF is, look it up in Urban Dictionary.
Google it. Maria Doyle Kennedy is a great actress. She actually starred in Downton Abbey. Well, she didn't star, but she played in Downton Abbey. As Mr. Bates' first evil wife.
The evil, see? She used her RBF then, too.
But I specifically remember her, and you should specifically remember her, my darling, because she was also in The Tudors.
Oh.
She played Henry VIII's first wife, Catherine of Aragon.
Nope, sorry, did not remember this.
Oh my God, but she was great in that. She also had RBF in that show, too.
You know what? She's typecast. Do you need to have a cranky face? If so,
Maria Doyle Kennedy.
She's your broad.
All the RBF.
Okay, let's recount. Okay, he's meeting Auntie.
Welcome to River Run.
Thank you, Auntie.
Can I also just say
River Run? Really? That River Run's a place in Game of Thrones too, by the way.
I've just been really nervous about River Run with Florence going by with all the rain. I was looking at that in the trailer during this hurricane season, and I was like, oh man, they would not be lasting. All right, so now they're at a fancy place. They're at a fancy event. All the wigs.
North Carolina offers wealth and prosperity.
I don't agree with keeping people as property.
You know?
Oh, no, Claire, no, keep going.
Way to
go.
You're a lively winner, you know.
Now pause.
You're a lively one, you know.
Ooh, yeah. Now you're talking.
You know who said that to me? My father-in-law. Pretty much. If my father-in-law was Scottish, that's what he would have said to me. You're a lively one, you know.
So here we have it. This is the thing. We established Jamie and Claire. We know where they are. And then they end up at their auntie's house for some reason. I don't know why. But now we set up the first conflict.
Tell me.
There's obviously a conflict between Auntie Jocasta and Claire. There's going to be some big issue here.
Claire's just a little too modern.
A little too modern for auntie's taste,
and
it's apparently gonna eventually drive them and both she and Jamie out of Auntie Jocasta's house.
We got to see some red coat action.
Yes, we did. Hey. And it looked like that the guy that's saying, "Oh, you know, North Carolina is a place of great wealth and prosperity, yada yada." They are clearly trying to come to an agreement on something. And it's funny because you remember how I said earlier, I've been looking forward to Jamie and Claire just surviving and not having a place.
Yeah.
It shows like that it's starting off that way, but they're eventually rejecting that and they're going off on their own.
I like it. Here we go.
Live on our own terms.
Hide me. This is it, Homelander.
If I can make this a good land, my presence here now can be felt by Brianna later.
Okay.
So how lovely that they were able to put those words, that my presence will be able to be felt by Brianna. Like, and they smash, and there you go. We're in modern times.
And there you go. And now this opens up the rest of the story for Brianna and apparently now Roger, who are together in a car driving down the highway to go wherever. I have no idea.
To go dance.
Maybe they're going to Fenway Park or something. Here again, it's opening up the story for these two characters, which I feel like we all know that Outland is about Jamie and Claire, right? But I think this season is when we're going to start to get the handoff. We're going to get the handoff to Bree and Raja, and this is a great entry into that realm.
Man, that would be something.
I'm Stephen Bonnet,
sir.
Be wary.
Travelers in these woods are set upon by thieves and outlaws.
All right.
Stephen Bonnet,
how do you feel about him?
Okay, this guy, and this is colored, I think, by what happens later on in the trailer. We've now introduced Roger and Bree. Thank you very much. They're coming into the story.
Yep.
But this guy is probably going to be the main antagonist for the rest of season four, or the main antagonist for most of season four.
And what makes you say that based upon this trailer?
Well, eventually we're going to get there. But, he seems like innocent in this particular place, but it's not by coincidence that he's saying this place is full of thieves.
Agreed. And da, da, da.
And then the next shot is people
mobsters
walking, going up to the house with, fire and all that other stuff.
Okay.
There are savages here.
Oh,
oh
my
truth. Hello?
Diana, I have some news about your mother.
Okay, there we go.
You just did so many hand signals, I just paused a million times. You kept pointing at me, so I kept pausing.
So here we have that, okay? So Jamie's talking about having savages. This is clearly, this guy is no good, right?
Okay.
He's not on the good train. But we are halfway through the trailer. We are halfway through our story that we're telling.
And our two-minute story.
Our two-minute story. And what is the crux of this entire trailer so far?
Roger is calling
Brianna about news about her mother. And that news is what eventually propels Brianna to go back. And this is the main part of this season. Brianna has to make a choice. Brianna makes a choice to go back to her mother, and it's started by Roger.
Everything's in my power.
Oh my God.
Jamie!
It's a silver filling, something that won't be invented for 100 years.
Let's stop there for a second.
Okay, so now we have Stephen Bonnet saying it's quite an antagonistic thing. Everything is in my power. And it seems like, whoa, this guy is pushing boundaries here a little bit. And we have the visual of the rope. Someone's getting hanged. There's clearly some kind of conflict here. But then we have the big Megillah. The secondary part of this story is the skull with the silver fillings,
yes.
Something that hasn't been invented for 100 years.
Yes.
This is a big deal.
It's a big, yeah.
It's a major deal.
It's a big surprise.
Because either someone was getting some advanced dentistry in the 1700s, or we have another traveler.
Uh-huh.
And
look at you.
And, you know, I think there are good things and bad things about that.
Okay.
Because, you know, like, I love the idea that Claire is special, and I love the idea that Claire's bloodline is special.
Yes.
But having another traveler come in, I always theorize that Master Raymond was a traveler, and we have Galus being a traveler, and then we have this jabroni skull with the silver filling being a traveler, and then Roger is obviously going to be a traveler. Like, I'm just like, how many freaking travelers we got here?
Everyone with O negative. Just kidding.
So, but this sets up a big thing, right? All the O negative people.
I'm gonna write Diana's last
jumped
book
for joy.
And if you have O negative, you too can travel.
This will lead us to fighting in another war. We will be on the wrong side of history again.
Oh man.
Okay. So, and this is where I'm telling you where I get the season two kind
but
of
the
feel.
The thing is that you know the time frame and actually physically where they went at this point. So you can't help it.
I just don't want to get to the point where it's like we're going to be in this war and then we're going to have to change the world. We're going to change history to prevent the
Dinner
war from
fash.
Happening. You know, Dinner like fash. I don't want that. That's the one thing I don't want.
Okay.
And then we're then left off here with a scene where it looks like Native Americans dancing around a bunch of different stones with fires. It looks like there could be another stone setting hidden within what will eventually be revealed as woods. And perhaps this is where Brianna comes out. Perhaps this is where Roger comes out, because I do believe that Roger's going back in time as well. And maybe Bree gets in trouble with Native American. I'm not sure yet.
Okay.
But I'm going to save all that for my outlandish theories.
Okay.
Okay?
Let's keep going.
But we
cutting you off.
We clearly have another
some
stone.
Dancing.
We have a dancing that was similar to
Bear McCreary. You better nail this song.
All the bear flair. Listen, that song that he did for season 3 was incredible. The Crocodile's
Fire
was incredible.
I can't wait to see what he does on this one.
And you notice too, even at this point, the music starts to get like a tribal feel to it. Like it starts to get like this chanting feel, which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
And I think Bear is going to kill it. But it looks like the summoning all over again, but in a Native American version.
I can't change your world without you, Sasanak.
Okay, so here we have the whole can't change the whole world without you, Sasanak, which is a nice, warm, filling line.
Yeah.
Season 2 feel a little bit, but it is what it is. The one thing that we actually passed by very quick was Brianna kneeling down at a grave. That is, I think, Brianna going to see her father, who is newly buried. There is no gravestone yet. So I think it's she going to see her father, Frank, and which is where...
Like a flashback?
No.
Because he was buried a while ago.
Well,
he died, then they waited, then they went to Scotland, and then they chilled out, and then they came back.
Could be a flashback.
Okay.
Could be a flash. I think she's going to see him for some particular reason.
Nice.
I have a theory on that,
all
too.
Right.
But and I think that's where we'll start to get Frank
because he wasn't newly... Yeah, this is taking a little while.
Okay. Right, okay, good.
Oh, tubby time.
Oh, the tubby time. All the sexy time. That's a beautiful shot.
I like how they're
way.
Like, we can't not throw this in.
I know.
We'll pick you up out of a tubby.
And notice, too, that there was a lightning strike and Claire being thrown off of her horse. We'll get into that, too.
Oh, and then we get to the
dancing time.
The gaily dancing around in merriment that I'm all about. This is my gif. When you posted in the clan gathering, how are you feeling? This was my gif, was the Roger Bree dance.
For some, it can be a nightmare for others.
Oh, stop. We just saw Jamie when they... Jamie pushes Stephen Bonnet up against a wall, which is another reason why I think Stephen Bonnet is going to be the main antagonist for season 4.
Sometimes life takes unexpected turns.
And that is the coup de grace, the ending of the 2-minute trailer that makes perfect sense for all of the Outlander trailer.
Yes.
Love where we're at with
yes!
that.
Yes! Oh my God. I'm just like, bring it on, bring it on. And okay, so as a book reader who needs to be very careful how I word things, there was one particular thing that the way they had outlined it in a trailer, I'm like, oh, that'd be a big change. That would be a big change.
Okay.
But I think it would be a nice change, or maybe it's not, and they're just fooling us all. So. I don't know how to be so vague with you in the room with me.
Yeah, for all the people that didn't read the books, they're like, okay, what the hell was that?
Be quiet, Mary. I'll give up.
No, don't give up. No. I love making fun of you.
Let's discuss a little bit, and then I need to go pee.
Okay. Again, all the people being like, what the hell, Mary?
Hopefully nobody new is listening to this
so
podcast.
Your overall take on the trailer. Did you think as a book reader, it gives you a good foothold into what Drums of Autumn is about?
Yes.
Okay.
Completely. I was shocked that they showed the Bree going to the Stones. I was completely shocked that they showed that in this trailer. And granted, there's been spoilerific pictures. And maybe that's why. Part of me is wondering, like, we've gotten some shots that have gone across the internet of Bree in period clothing, okay? And that got passed around. We also had shots of Tobias.
Right.
Going around the internet.
Yep.
So, you know, there was this whole thing with people being like, I don't want to be spoiled. Shoot, I just saw a picture of Bree back in time.
Right.
Shoot, why would Tobias Menzies have been on set for a day? Like, what in the world is going on? So for them to kind of have those two things happen in the trailer shocked me as a book reader. But on the flip side, I'm like, you know what? If I was in the trailer making room and I would be like, everyone already knows this.
Might as well. Well, this kind of reminds me of the season 2 trailer, not in a bad way, but in a good way. Remember when all of a sudden in the trailer, we saw Claire back in the future and we were like, what?
Like you were like that.
All the people,
yes,
like,
yes.
It was awesome. And Frank running down the stairs and the whole thing, right? It was great. And I remember thinking, why would you let that out?
Cards,
why
yep.
would you do that?
Mm-hmm.
That's a major twist.
Yep.
And I feel like we're getting the same thing here with Bree in that Ron Moore, hashtag trust Ron, okay?
Yes.
Ron knows what he's doing. He is a showrunner of the highest caliber. And there's no way, I don't care if there are pictures out there, I don't care if book readers are demanding it, he is not going to let out information about his show unless he wants that information to be let out, right?
Mm-hmm, yep.
So my feeling on it is, Bree going back is a big deal, but it's not as big of a deal as you would think that it's going to be. I don't think it's going to be like this major turning point in the show. In fact, I doubt that we're going to be spending much time in Boston altogether. I bet that we're going to be spending about, or in the future, I bet we're going to spend about an episode or two, and then Brianna goes back, because it's not the main crux of the whole season. That is just what gets the season moving. That's my opinion.
I just want to know when Murtaugh's coming back.
Oh, and notice too, by the way, when Brianna answers the phone, when Roger says, "Hey, I got some information about your mother," and she's sitting there, she's wearing like an army coat almost.
Okay.
And she's wearing a pin on her lapel that's a peace sign. So she apparently has started to take some activism about Vietnam and getting out of Vietnam. That's the way that it looks, at least to me.
Well, I just thought she was being trendy.
I don't think she's that trendy, honey. So I, as a show watcher, I feel like this gives me a pretty good taste. We're going to have some dealings with Native Americans. And as we learned in the History of Colonial North Carolina episode, you know, shameless plug, go back and listen to episode 120, mm-hmm, with Ed Ayers. We did a whole episode of Colonial North American history, or Colonial North Carolina and North Carolinian history. There you go.
Say that three times.
Got to get that out there. We learned a lot about this stuff. We learned about the Tuscarora. We learned about the Mohawk. We learned about the Iroquoian League. And we're getting a taste of that, too. We're getting a taste of how some Native Americans are going to be playing into this season. We're getting a taste of the kind of people that the North Carolinians are. They are a rebellious people. We have a feisty people, one that is exemplified by the hangings, exemplified by the fact that the house, what I think could either be this British officer's house or maybe Auntie Jocasta's house. Mm-hmm. It's getting raided, mm-hmm, for some particular reason, probably because Auntie's in bed with the British officer. You never know. I'm just saying.
I'll just give you an interesting.
They're probably pissed off about that. And then we're getting the whole thing with Brian Roger, that whole setup, and she's going back because something about her parents is sending her back.
And then we
have it sent off with Brianna actually going back and that whole thing. So I think we got a good foothold into what season four, and we also get the whole thing with
Badwigs.
Your boy, what's his name there?
I just threw that in. I'm glad you over.
Your boy.
He's not my boy. Stephen Bonnet is, no, I am not taking claim on Stephen Bonnet.
Who, by the way, is played by Ed Spielers, and who was also in Downton Abbey, by the way. He played Jimmy, who was the footman that Mr. Barrow was all about, the Jimmy life.
Yeah, he was.
In Downton Abbey. So
there's very little that I feel like I can actually discuss any further, aside from the fact that I'm excited. I'm excited for
Homelander. Well, I got some outlandish theories.
Okay, good. Okay, keep saying interesting.
All right, you ready for the outlandish theories?
Yes.
Okay, let's do it. Okay, I'm just going to go down. I got like 15 outlandish theories. All right.
15.
No, I don't have 15. I'm kidding. Okay. So it looks like there are stones. We've already talked about that. Are we going to get another Abindawe sequence, a style sequence? And is there a stone setting in the United States or in the colonial colonies as well? And what I want to know here, too, is how Auntie got all her money. She's clearly from Scotland, and it's not like her family has like a ton of money just to be thrown around here. I imagine that she's related to Dougal and Colum and that whole clan, because you don't see much from Jamie's father's side. You really only see the family on the mother's side. So I feel like she's probably Jamie's mother's sister. And I wonder if Auntie was skimming from Dougal's donations and then she skipped the country.
Skimming.
She was skimming off the top, just a little, you know, maybe 1%, 2% here or there. She skipped the country, maybe because Dougal found out. I don't know. I'm just saying. And then, you know, Auntie Jocasta, she don't seem like too much of a great lady. I feel like Claire and she are going to have some major problems. And something tells me that Claire is going to do something with her slaves that's going to set off this whole conflict with Auntie. Because that line is put in there for a real reason.
I'll give you an interesting.
And maybe they try to free them. Maybe they try to, I don't know what they do.
I'm just saying interesting, okay, to everything.
I think Brie goes back because she finds out her parents are going to die.
Ew.
I think that's what it's... And morbid. She, and she, like
then
her mother...
Then it'd be weird if they never die.
I know, it's true. But I feel like Roger finds out something that happens to them, and Brie's like, I can stop that. And she, just like her mother, felt like she could stop the Jacobite Rebellion. Brie feels like she can stop her mother's death, at least in this particular sense. I also feel like Roger definitely follows her back and somehow gets in some serious trouble with the Native Americans because he comes through the stones and Native Americans were dancing around it. And somehow, some way, he gets caught into that, or he gets caught into Stephen Bonnet somehow. Maybe they meet up somehow. But, like, there's no way Roger's coming through the stones and not having something. He's not going to just show up and be like, hey, guys, I'm here.
He's going to roll up with a party cake and some beers and be like, what's up?
Yeah. He's got some Sam Adams with him. You know, he brought it from Boston.
Bringing the OG beer.
No, that's not going to happen. So he's going to run into
style.
He's going to run into these people somehow, some way. That's what I feel like is going to happen. All right. They also are not showing Lord John here. I feel like Lord John is obviously coming back.
He and Marta are in Jamaica.
Yeah, they're doing something with young Ian, by the way. Young Ian was shown in the trailer.
No, I mean like they're on a cruise in Jamaica.
Oh, okay.
That's where Marta wasn't.
Was
either.
It a Carnival cruise or was it Royal Caribbean?
It was Royal Caribbean.
Oh, okay.
Okay, good. They wanted the better food.
It's the Oasis of the Seas.
Yes, yes. Yes. They wanted the Wave Rider for little Willie. That's where Lord John, Marta, and Willie are right now.
They're on the Wave Rider.
They're chilling on the Wave Rider on the Royal Caribbean's Oasis of the Seas in Jamaica.
You know young Ian can't do nothing. He's on the Wave Rider and he's that one dude.
Young Ian is stuck in North Carolina.
Oh,
he
sorry.
Was in the trailer.
No, I'm sorry.
That poor kid, he's doing some dirty work.
You know,
we Willie, however.
Yes. He is like, you know, he's like that kid that like falls constantly. He can't do it.
Or this is Jamie's son we're talking about.
Or would it be better if Lord John was the guy that falls all the time and Willie was the young kid who actually could do it? I don't know. I'm still.
Once again, if you don't know what a wave rider is.
My mind is bustling
Google
at the
that.
Moment.
It's like a pretend surfing thing on a cruise ship.
So I feel like somehow Brie gets involved with Lord John at one point. And
goes
Lord
on
John
the cruise,
and
gets a little drunk in the dance floor.
Lord John either comes to the colonies either because his wife is dead or his wife finds out about his love of Jamie and kicks him out of the house and says, take that kid and get on a cruise and get out of here. That's how I feel like that might happen. And maybe she gets involved with Lord John because she doesn't know that Roger is coming back. She doesn't know that Roger...
Maybe he offered her a free cruise. He said, listen, I've got an extra room.
And then my last outlandish theory, which kind of gives me the sense that Roger's going to get involved with the Native Americans, is that we have this sequence with Claire and the horse, and there is
the lightning bolt.
The lightning bolt, ooh. And Claire gets thrown off. And then all of a sudden, in the same storm sequence, we see this Native American come walking up, and it's like this almost dreamy sequence. It's almost like it's ethereal, like it's surreal, if you will. And it just reeks of like odd stuff happening. And it might be, and there's also that line too that says it might be a nightmare for others.
Yeah.
So I wonder if, Claire or Roger or Brie or somebody gets themselves embedded with the Native Americans. And that would make sense because if Claire got herself embedded with the Native Americans, that would make sense because she's a healer. And mm-hmm. as we talked about on the Colonial North Carolinian History podcast, there is some major disease going on at this time. There is some big issues with things like smallpox and measles and, you know, God knows what else is going on. And the Native American population is just being decimated by, you know, by hundreds and thousands, if not tens of thousands of people, right? So Claire probably gets herself involved in all this because she is a healer. She is on her own. She's living at Fraser's Ridge, what apparently will become the house that they're building. She's going to have to make a living. She's going to have to do something. And that makes sense to me. So that is the end of all my outlandish theories. Do you have any outlandish theory yourself?
Murtaugh is going to come back, I hope.
With a tan?
Oh, totes with a tan.
Well, you know, with that big drink, you know.
Oh, he's going to have an unbuttoned Hawaiian shirt, a little like Mai Tai or pina colada.
Yeah, with the with all the umbrellas.
All the cherries.
And all the fruit.
Mock me.
Please hang up and try again.
So that is our review of the season two trailer.
I loved it. I'm excited. There's a little bit that I'm like, are you trying to fool us? I think you're trying to fool us because that's not how that. Okay, we're just going to keep rolling.
There's probably a little bit of misdirection.
I like it.
I liked it too. It got me. Here's why I know I liked it, because it got me excited. It got me excited for season four. And I'm ready for it to come down now.
Oh, yeah.
And it was good. It was fast-paced. It told a good story. It was visceral. It made all the sense in the world.
And there was tubby time.
All the tubby time. Sexy tubby time, too. That's a great shot when he picks her up out of the thing and her legs are hanging over. And oh, my God.
Oh, my God. We would not be that graceful.
No, I'd be in the freaking hospital. I'd slip and bang my neck on the clawfoot tub.
It would not be sexy.
No, it would be like me. You know,
I'd be being like, I'm cold. Where's my towel?
I need my towel. You have a hair dryer. All right. You ready to close it out?
Where's my Snuggie? As always, we want to thank you for taking the time to listen to Outlander Cast. We know that you have busy, crazy lives as we do ourselves. And to know that we're joining you on maybe your ride to work, while you're at the gym, it just warms our hearts so much. So I really hope that you're a member of the Outlander Cast Clan Gathering. And if you're a book reader, the Outlander Cast Clan Book Club, things are heating up in there, guys. It's going to be exciting. And this, of course, is where we frequently are pulling our listener feedback from. So as the season gets closer, you want to make sure that you're inside that group so you can join in the conversations. We want to really, really thank all of the Outlander Cast staff. We've gotten some new members of the staff that we are excited to help you get to know. We're going to be doing some introductions in the Outlander Cast gathering, clan gathering in the upcoming future. And we really want to thank our patrons who make all of this possible, because without you, we would not be able to afford our babysitter who's watching our children right now because they were crazy. And honestly, everything that we do, thanks to our staff and our patrons, and for you as our listeners. So our patrons, we want to give a shout out to Jen, Peg, Ann, Bobby, Liz, Meredith, Tina, Carolyn, Sharon, Tracy, Lisa, Sue, Keelan, Dana, Celine, Mary, Michelle, Jennifer, Heather, and Marilyn. Did you like how I took a deep breath and one name?
Well, we got a lot of patrons and they're all fantastic.
And this isn't even all of our patrons. These are just the ones who are of a certain level or higher that we make sure that we shout them out.
If we had to read all the patrons here, we'd be here for like 15 minutes.
We'd be here for a long time. And just know that honestly, even at the smallest amount, it makes a huge difference. It's less than a cup of coffee once a month. And it just makes such a big difference to keep the show, to keep the website, to keep everything going. So we truly appreciate
bringing you the best Outlander coverage on the planet, the dominating the Outlander world.
Oh, man. Well, on that note, guys, those of you who are book readers, are you excited? Because I'm excited. I am so excited and so ready.
I love it.
We are excited that the season's coming. We're going to be heading to Comic-Con. We're going to be doing a meetup there. Information will be posted shortly in the clan gathering, but we're just pumped. So thank you once again for taking the time to listen. For now, I'm Mary.
My name's Blake.
And this is Outlander Cast.